As we open our evening service, you might like to turn in your Bible to Joshua and chapter 7. Joshua and chapter 7. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Spirit of God, we thank you for helping us a little bit at a time, even understanding it, that we might have the benefit and that we might receive the blessing and that we might have the motivation to be moving forward, looking to you, even for your soon coming. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We have spent a little time of late looking and trying to take advantage in the light of the world in which we live, in the light of all that's happening in the world in which we live, and all that is there, so that we want to learn how to benefit to go forward in the light of the, again, darkness and death and evil that surrounds us. So, and we looked at Joshua to learn the lessons that God provides on how to go forward. And Israel is there, and Israel takes Jericho in a most wonderful way. And God did the whole thing, so that Israel is going to be able to say and to think and to understand that God knocked the wall down. God did everything. All they had to do is honor God and honor God's word. That's all they had to do. He isn't going to do that in every city, but it's a starting point. The starting point when you do anything, you start your job, you do something new, you get the instructions that you need to proceed to what you're into and where you're going. And then you go and go to work, school, whatever you're doing, and you exercise that. God is giving them a wonderful, wonderful preparatory exhibition of how they're going to proceed taking the land of Israel. And now, having said that, ought we share together that in taking it, God wanted them to know and understand, like in chapter 6 and 16, 17, 18, that chapter 6, that God had gone and said, all of it, every drop, every animal, and person, everything in that city is mine. It's condemned. It's accursed. I set it apart. I separated it for myself. I am judging the Philistines and all the rest of them, and they need to know that. There's no compromise. There's no middle ground. There's no discussion. There's no debate. I'm going to do it. Everyone pay attention, and that's what they did. The only person that did, a little thing he did, seemingly, Achan went and took of that, from that he took the garment and gold and all of that, which we shared. He took that, and then he hid it in his tent, because he couldn't enjoy it. It had to be hidden. He couldn't be in the camp of Israel, which is holy, and he couldn't do it because God, he shouldn't have it, and he had it. So therefore, he hides it. Now they're going to got all that. No one knows it except Achan. Now, so here's Jericho. And 13 miles away is the city of Ai. And the city of Ai. and the city of Ai is 10 miles from Jerusalem. 10 miles up, Ai, 13 miles over, Jericho. There's a little town, city, there it is. And so they're going to begin to go forward. So they line up and they go and they send spies in again to check like they did with Jericho. They send the spies in, as you know, in chapter 7 and in verse 1. About the children of Israel, Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zarah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. But they aren't aware of that yet. And verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is the city down the road, which is beside Bethaven, and on the east side of Bethel. And he spake unto them, saying, go up and view the council country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor. In other words, don't have us get all tired out going that 13 miles, or more than that, 13 miles from Jericho, and going from Gilgal, and going. So, and here we're going to go, and don't wear everybody out. Just 2,000 or 3,000 of the men is enough. And in the process, end of verse 3, and all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. In other words, we're able to go, and you just demonstrated God did in Jericho. We had all these 600,000 men of Israel, and we had them, and we didn't have to do anything. God did it all, and all we did is go in and conquer the rest of it. That's all we did. We didn't lose anybody. We just went in and did it. It was easy. No one died. No problems. Hey, what's it? Nothing to it. Now, the problem. What is always the problem in some form? Over to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 19. And you'd recall Exodus 19, picking up the thought. A problem that never, never ceases to get us in some form or fashion. Chapter 19, go to verse 8, which you know. What did Israel say in the light of verse 4? I have seen what I did upon the Egyptians. You have seen what I did upon the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special, peculiar, prized, privileged, personal treasure and unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And they shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And their response, verse 8 again, and the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's what we're going to do. They never quit. When you come to the end of Joshua, Joshua said, you aren't going to get anywhere without God. They said, oh, we will. Whatever God says, we're going to do it. We do everything we're supposed to. Hang on. That's what we do. We'd like to think that we do. We aren't stupid. We aren't dumb. And we're somebody. So therefore, we'd like to think in some form or fashion, we have something, value, and we'd be able to make decisions and do the things that are right in our own judges. We do the things that are right in our own eyes. That's what we do. We do that. And we're very comfortable doing it. Now, so that's the problem. What are you going to do? Well, we only need 2,000 or 3,000 men, and we're going to go up and do it. Just a few men, and we're going to go. Now, having said that, and you know what's going to happen, back over to Joshua 7, and Joshua chapter 7, and verse 5, and the men of Ai smote. Now remember, here they are in Ai, and they certainly have to know about Jericho, the awesome destruction of Jericho. They certainly have to know that. And they have to know what is probably going to happen to them. But the flesh is going to go, knowing what's going to happen. Here's the Antichrist and getting us all to go against God. And what do we know? The Antichrist is full of enthusiasm and motivation, why he's doing it and what he's doing. Here we are. But you know what? We know. I'm part of the system. I know we can't go against God. But he said you can go against God. But I know we can't go against God. So here we are, and we're going to go, but we're going to go and fight anyway, God, Armageddon. Now, so therefore, in verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them to the going down. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So, now what happened? Here's 2,000 or 3,000 men, and they go up against them, and God, the people of Ai, are able to drive them out. Interestingly, they only 36 men are killed. There could have been 300 men. No, just 36 men. That's all. And that's what they did. Now, they did all that. They did it. And they lost the battle. Now, God, what are we going to learn? What did they need to learn? Over, if you would, please, in the light of that, over to understanding God. So, God, we can handle this problem. We don't need you, but if we need you, we'll call you. Now, they didn't do that. They should have gone to God, and they didn't do it. Now, in the light of everything, exercise. God, what are the people of God that are trusting you know? At this point, Israel, Joshua, wasn't trusting God, wasn't honoring God, not at this point. It wasn't his heart was wrong. He just didn't understand. He didn't go to God. The commander at headquarters in Gilgal, he didn't go to know what city should I go to, Ai or someplace else. How should we go? He never went. After the first time, that's enough. We'll take care of it. I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm going to live my life now. So, exercise. Over to Ezra. I knew I'd get it. Ezra. And picking up the thought, in Ezra and chapter 9. And in Ezra chapter 9, picking up in thought, if I may. In Ezra chapter 9, picking up, what do we know? Well, verse 8, directly, here they are. They don't have anything like Solomon. All of that wonderful things, those are gone. The army's gone. The city's gone. All of those things are missing. But here they are, a remnant of them, and they're building the temple and trying to reestablish the city. And Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place. That purpose, our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. We aren't very much, God, but we're going to trust you. Israel, we've got enough, 2,000 or 3,000, enough to do it. We're just little Nehemiah. And chapter 9, what is he going to say? What is the attitude? And you will note Nehemiah, and in chapter 9, picking up, if I may, verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. In the light of the context. Verse 32. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little. God, don't make it so, don't make it, it's what we are, it's what we're up against. It isn't, don't, God, you're so wonderful, hang on. You're awesome, you went, and here we are at the Red Sea, and everyone stood still, and you opened the Red Sea. But God, that's a big thing. Wow. You closed the Jordan down so we could cross over. That's a big thing. You're right. So what we have is just little. God, is there anything too small for you to bother with? Hang on. Now, so therefore, in verse 32, middle of the verse, let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that thou hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Verse 33, howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us. For thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. We're guilty, God, but would you at least consider? It may seem little, it's a big thing, to you it's a little thing. So God, would you involve yourself in doing that? Now what are they doing? They are remembering God. They're remembering their history. All the way down from Joshua, Judges, they're remembering their history. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, destruction of the city, that's in their head. So therefore, they're conscious of God. What were they doing? They were not doing what God warned them about. Back over, if you would, to Exodus. Oh, no better than that. Deuteronomy. Over to Deuteronomy and chapter 8. Deuteronomy and chapter 8. And you will note In Deuteronomy chapter 8, what do they remember that Israel needed to remember? The warning God warned them. He told them. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy, and verse 9. I'm going to bring you into a land, a land that shalt thou eat wherein all of the wonderful blessing, picking up in verse 9. The land wherein thou shalt eat bread without the scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But beware of the danger of God's blessing, God's benefits, being a believer, trusting God. Beware, verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hath built goodly houses and built and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then, verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, sliding all the way down. Verse 17, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. All the benefits. It's our benefit. Why did you conquer Jericho? Well, we did it. And we're going to go and take Ai. We did it. God, all that you say will do, and we did it. And now we're claiming the benefit. That's what we're doing. You didn't do it. God did it. And God helped you to do it. But we forgot God. That's the problem. And therefore, sliding down, in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou wilt do all, forget the Lord, if thou do at all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. Verse 20. And as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your eyes face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What's the problem? You forget. And we get the benefits, and we forget, and we think it's all, we did it. We did it. I came to know the Lord as my Savior. We do. And when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, what did you do? You did nothing. How much did God do? He saved you all by his lonesome. He didn't take one thing of you, your word, your thought, your mind, anything about you. He went and saved you all by himself. He never asked you to give him anything to help him. God did it. That's why you have the truth, John 15:5. You abide in me, and I abide in you. And without me, you can do nothing. And nothing means nothing. Israel, do you understand that? No. Nope. We forgot. We thought everything we had was wonderful, wonderful. And God, we're going to go and proceed to do what we think we should do in having a wonderful success in the church, etc. Now, having said that, And keeping that in mind, so we're going to go and labor and do what we do in the way we do it. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here's the danger, the problem. The problem is to make an issue, an item, whatever you have to face, whatever you're doing. We have a daily life. Sometime we make it too big. Sometime we make it too small. And that's what we do. When Israel, we got to do that, thank you. Over to Numbers. Numbers in chapter 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, what did they not learn? Numbers 13, picking up, please. Remember the 12 spies from Israel went into the land, they searched it, and they came back with a report to whether we should go in and take the land from Kadesh Barnea to go conquer the land, which they could have done, but they didn't believe. Why didn't they believe? Because the giants are there, the giants and the chariots. We are as grasshoppers, etc. And we looked at Israel, we looked at Jericho, we looked at Ai, we looked at the people and said, there's no way on earth we can do this. That's what they said. And you'll notice in verse 31, and the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. We can't go up against them. It's the odds and the obstacles, the opponents are overwhelming. We can't possibly do it. And they didn't. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't do it. Caleb and Joshua, on the other hand, Numbers and chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess the land, it, for why? For we are well able to overcome. Looking to God, honoring God's word, we can do it. Verse 31, we leave God out of the picture and we can't do it. We can't do it. But then we go along and we change our mind and do all that. And remember, without reading it, they said, God, we don't want to be punished. Deuteronomy. I said, we don't want to be punished. So they got all together. We're going to go do it. And God said, you better not, because you'll never make it. You disobeyed me. You haven't learned your lesson. You haven't learned anything. It's going to take what? 38 more years in the wilderness before you learn. Before you learn. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Ezra and Nehemiah, you guys didn't forget. And you look to God to succeed. Here we are all the way after Calvary's cross looking. And we aren't going to do it. We didn't do one thing to give us the privilege to sit here and have his book and his word and his presence. We didn't do one thing to deserve any of this. God did it for us. And he's doing it in his grace. And we want to be able to honor him. So we aren't going to have, we're going to be the, remember the all the stuff that used to be? I don't know that it's anymore. Jack Hiles and all those, that whole era in yesterday. We had it even in Connecticut. And we're going to overcome, we're going to build the biggest church and overcome everything. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And they had all the ways to do it and prizes to do it and everything. That's what, remember that? Hear all of that. What happened to that whole? What happened to that? Hiles and all of them, what happened? It didn't work. It didn't work. We're going to do it. We're going to be the bestest, the biggest. It didn't work. No, no. You're doing it without God. You're doing it apart from God. You aren't looking to God. You're going to take and make your system work. But your system may not line up with God's word, with what God is going to do. So therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, so looking at it in the light of the big and little pictures, if you're going to look at big Moses, a big Noah, and Noah is a believer, and Noah is going to do what? And he has his family. To how else and however it was done, God allowed Noah and motivated Noah to build the ark. The ark, a battleship. There's no way you can sit down and figure it out. They didn't have anything like you and I snow, equipment. They had no need. There was no water to build a battleship, a Moses ark. God, it was big, but not too big for God. Crossing the Jordan, crossing the Red Sea, big, but not too big for God. Not too big. And what else do we know? That the people of Israel, back over if I can to Joshua, and Joshua in chapter 2. And Joshua chapter 2, picking up if I may. And you remember, Rahab, what are you going to tell the people? The two spies, you remember it without doing it all. Picking up, please, in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 and 11. I'll read verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Israel didn't understand that. God prepared and sent the message by way of the flood and all of it, and crossing the Jordan. God, you're an awesome big God. And Israel was to be trusting you. That's how they crossed the Red Sea. That's how they crossed the Jordan. They trusted you. And thus the people of the world, in Philistines and everybody, we see it. It isn't Israel. It's the God of Israel. And thus, verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, and Jordan and Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed, etc. And therefore, verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord our God is a God. He is a God in heaven above and on earth beneath. He's an awesome God. Chapter 4 and verse 23. For the Lord our God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before you, before us, until we were gone over. Wow. And next verse. For that all the people of the earth, why'd you do it, God? That everybody might know what? The hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God, you might fear him forever. God, Nehemiah, Ezra, God were just little. They learned something. They understood something. Now, in the process of that, in doing that. So here's Noah His Mount Sinai, all of the wonderful, wonderful things that God was doing and the way he was doing them. Now, therefore, and going forward, God's going to go and honor. He's going to honor. Now, keep in mind, here's Israel. They aren't paying attention, and they're going to win. But then, because they didn't get their heart right and keep it right, they're going to go and be the Nebuchadnezzar, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity in due season is going to take over and take it all away from them. But in the wilderness for 40 years, 38 years, what did Caleb and Joshua do? What were they doing? They were looking to God and following him. They were following God. That's what they did. Over to Numbers in chapter 32. And here we are and saying, why can't we fix anything in the process? So, Numbers chapter 32, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 11. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Why not? Because they have not wholly followed me. But, so, verse 12, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So when everyone go in the wrong direction, no one cares. God's looking, like in Chronicles, looking for who he can show his heart strong. Everyone could goof and be stupid, but one person that's going to trust him, God will find him. And Caleb and Joshua, here you are, in the midst of 600,000 men, and God's going to honor you. The conditions are there, and you've got to live through it. 38 years. We're living in a world as the church goes down the hill, downhill. Well, we don't have to go downhill. All we need to do is roll up our sleeves and look to God. God will keep us like Caleb and Joshua and no one else in church. Then there are places where sometimes there's only one believer in the whole church. Probably. There are churches where there are no believers. Whatever. The believer can be believing. That's the point. Be believing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, over to Zechariah. Zechariah, and you will note. So little, small, no, you don't want to say that to God. Little or small. Now, having said that, Zechariah in chapter 4, picking up, please. You'll remember, remember Ezra, Nehemiah, don't God, nothing's too little for you. This temple isn't very much, but it's something. And therefore, God, don't consider it. There's no ark in it. There's nothing, as it were. But God, honor the building we tried to put up. Honor us. We're just us. We're just little. And without you, we can't do it. Now, having said that, here's Zechariah. Ezra and Zechariah. Picking up, please. And you remember God and what they're doing. God's doing a wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, what did you say to him? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to do what I do. You say you can't. God said, I will. Ezra, Nehemiah, don't despise God, our little thing. And he didn't. He didn't. And therefore, verse 10, for who hath despised, who has gone and despised the day of small things? And you'll notice, small, despised, to go and think lightly, to scorn, to laugh, to mock, despise the day of small things. Don't despise it. It's nothing. And what did we say in Joshua 7:3? What did they say to Joshua? It's just there's only a few. We only need a few of us. We'll just do it our way and get it over with and save everybody the blood, sweat, and tears. We'll save them. We'll do it. And they lost. They lost. They forgot God. They thought, if it's too big, like the Joshua and the Red Sea, then we need God. But when it isn't that big, God will take care of it. Hang on. Now, having said that, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. He's going to finish the building. And with those seven, all of the communion and the Spirit of God's ministry, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. God's looking for those that would trust him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, over to Revelation, if you would. And by the way, just a wonderful thing, but this little sidetrack, but to help you think about small and big things. God, don't despise the day of small things. That's why the average housefly takes 440 steps to travel 3 inches. And he does so in half a second. He takes 440 steps in half a second. That's what he does. Now, got that part. So here we are. And here's a flea. A flea can leap 200 times its length. A man would have to be, 1,200 feet. A flea can go 200. A man would have to jump 1,200 feet to compete. He'd lose. You can't beat God. Wow. And in the process of that, in the ant, the average ant, doing what it does. The average ant has super duper strength to carry it, with a mouse or whatever they're doing, to carry it. That's what they do. A man would have to lift a diesel engine on his back to equal what an ant can do. I don't know. To me, God, why did you do this with little things? Here's another one. Good. The average squash. Here we are. We got a squash, and we're going to go and take a seed. We're going to plant the seed. We're going to plant the seed in the ground, and in the process, it's going to go and multiply. And here's a turnip, and it's going to multiply and may increase its weight 15,000 times in the process. And it's going to increase 15,000 times. Turnip. Now, in the process, also going, here's a squash. like squashes. Squash. A squash. A squash planted, connected to a system to demonstrate, and the squash was planted, and 15 days labor, it lifted, as it was growing, 51 pounds. 19 days later, it lifted 5,000 pounds, growing. Just growing. God, don't despise the day of little things. What I do is awesome. And you need to understand that. Therefore, Revelation and chapter 3. Revelation and chapter 3. And may I pick up the church in Philadelphia. And you will note, you'll remember it, chapter 3, and in verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. And hath kept my word, and hath not denied my name. You only have a little strength, but I'm going to get you all the way. And that's the way you find verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You're looking and enduring till I come. I also will keep thee, guard thee, keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I'm going to keep you. You have not much, but I'm going to keep you. Little strength. But we aren't big. You go, we can't do it. What can we do to get big? I'm not looking to get big. I just want to honor God. God makes us little or big. Something big destroys you. Now, in the process, here's the church, where we are. In the light of that, what you're looking at. Chapter 3, the end of the church age, Laodicea, sliding over. Chapter 3 and verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, neither cold, nor hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Hot, I will spew thee, cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17, why? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of what? Nothing. The church. You say that is, it is. Now, without taking time, if you turn to chapter 17, the world you're looking at right now with the church, we have need of nothing. We're all doing, and God help us in the midst of all this. We're doing what we do, the way we do it. And we're going to line up with the world system and all, world council of churches and all this stuff. And all of it's going to be, that's where we're going. We're going to get rid of all the believers. God's going to get rid of them. A believer over here, here's Sunday worship, and God takes the believer and leaves the rest. And takes the believer and leaves the rest. That's what he does. And they're gone. And now they clap their hands, and now we can proceed without the problem of having to deal with God. Revelation 17. We have need of nothing, and that's where we're going. Now, God, with that in mind, God, big, little, there's nothing too big. A Red Sea, a world falling apart, nothing too big, there's nothing too small. God, you're conscious when you made the ant and made the flea and made the fly, yeah, and all the rest of them. God, and you made us in your image and likeness. And you tell us, as we shared in the beginning, abide in me, John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you. And the same, what are you going to do? And you'll bear much fruit. Verse 5. For without me, you can do nothing. Joshua, you're going to have to learn. You don't do any conflict, whether it's big or little, without God, without headquarters, without God's direction. If God isn't in it, the little city of Ai will beat you. And the little worry, the thing you're worried about, it's a little pimsqueak. But you're worried and worried. And that worry will win, doesn't it? It worry. Discouraged, disappointed, depressed. And it wins. Getcha. In closing, a little thought. Over, if you would. A little thought. I hope it's encouraging to you. 1 Kings, chapter 17. If I can. And now, here's the widow woman. Now, Elijah, are you going to trust God? That's God, that's what he does. That's what we're learning. We're learning to trust God, whether anyone else does or not. Immaterial. I'm going to trust God. Caleb, Joshua, I'm going to trust God. I don't care what you do. That's what you're going to do. Now, chapter 17, and here's the widow woman. And the widow woman, sliding down context quickly, if I can, in verse 11. And as she was going to fetch, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, a biscuit, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil to mix it with in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, don't need very much fire, 2 sticks, why? That I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. That's what we're going to do. 1 little biscuit, I'm going to go and cook it, and that's all we got, and we're going to die. And Elijah's tuned into God. Nothing's too big and nothing's too little. And therefore, verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do thou as thou hast said, and but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it me unto me, and after make thee and for thy son a cake. Now you're going to give to that's bigly Elijah. What are you saying, God? I'm going to help that woman understand about God. She thinks that God, having a little and a world of famine and trouble, and you have a little, and we're going to eat the little and die. And I want to help the woman. So I want her to go and give me the biscuit. Basically, the biscuit. That's what I want to do. Verse 14. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And sliding down, verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You're going to take just a little, just a little. Give me at first. But God, that's all I got. Give it to God. Give it to God. Whatever it is. You got 5 minutes. Give the 5 minutes to God. Whatever you're up against, give it to God. That's what to do. God first. God first. Absolutely. And until it rains. Now over there, chapter 18. And in chapter 18, picking up, please. And you remember, Elijah, God, he fed Elijah. God fed Elijah with little birds, etc. Elijah's trusting God. Whatever. Give it to God. And here's they need rain. It's time for rain. He gave his word, and rain stopped, and now it was time to have rain. So here he is on the mountain, looking out across the mountain, out to the sky, and he's looking out there, and he's out there. Now God, are you going to help him? And Elijah, what do we know? You know you trust God by little or big. It could be a great thunderstorm come rolling up out of the sky, but it isn't. No, what is it? Chapter 18, 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, servant to go look and see if you see a cloud. And they said, in verse, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and to get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It's going to rain very hard. That's what he did. Now, what got you to say that? You didn't see a thundercloud. You don't have a drop of rain. No. I just saw a little cloud, a little note, that God is going to go and do what he does. And I'm going to trust him, and it's going to happen. How big do you need to have it? Remember, you know all the wonderful words God said. You know, if you have faith of the grain of mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, if you just have that, you watch what you could do. Wow, it's little. It is. But God is big. God is big. That's what you do. Now, in closing, our Father and God, we thank you. So deal with our heads and hearts. Help us to learn the lesson of Israel as they learn how to go forward with you. Help us to learn and understand there's nothing too big and nothing too little. Everything and anything belongs to you to work out, and we're to look to you with all our heart to work out our little lives, our time on earth, in these moments. Here we are. Teach us well that we are not going to be forgetful. We're not going to assume that we can handle it, whatever it is, because it's what we can do all by our lonesome. God, help us not to do that. Help us learn to trust you in the hardest thing in our life and the easiest thing, even in whatsoever we eat. Eating, do it, believing God, and eating with thanksgiving. God, and help us. In Christ's name, amen.